to pick from. Actually, I do. Reasons for that. Now, Shabbat Shiva means the Shabbat of return, the Sabbath of return. It's the Shabbat in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, during the 10 days of awe. We open this morning with a scripture from Hosea. The book of Hosea ends with the heart of God saying, come home, come back, return, return to me. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is what? Were you listening on Wednesday night? The theme of Rosh Hashanah. Each holiday is a different theme. Repentance. Repentance. What's the theme of this holiday? Return. Good. Thank you. Return. Return. Now, we're to do the appointed times, not just talk about it. Each one is a picture of something that we do. We do. Okay, a lot of times we talk about it and get the right answers, but do we do them? Do we do them? That doesn't mean like at Sukkot, do you build a sukkah? No, anybody can do that. It has to do with what's going on inside of us. As we do them, okay, we confess our sin. I mean, the liturgy had to do with confession of sin and so on, repentance. As we do that, we're to ask God, we ended the service with this on Wednesday night, to reveal to us anything that hinders our relationship with Him. What is it that's hindering? So we can confess it, so we can get it cleaned up. What is hindering our prayers from being answered? Well, we share with you Psalm 66:18. You all know, by the way, all the verses that I'm sharing, and has to do with my other question in a few minutes, you all know these. Do you? Remember that from a Jewish perspective, you don't know it until you do it. All right, so the two are connected together. It says, and you know this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's a quench right there to answered prayer. You can say the right words in a prayer. You can say, well, why isn't he answering? Maybe there's some sin in here. Maybe there's some sin in here. Maybe there's sins you don't know are sins. Really? Can that be? We'll see. We'll see. How about this one? The sin of unforgiveness. Do you ever think that that's a sin? It is. It's a sin. That's one that sometimes we put under the carpet. We started this on Wednesday night. We'll continue it through next weekend. But, you know, we freely receive salvation, the free gift of eternal life. We freely receive forgiveness. But do we give it? Do we give it? Or do we withhold it? Withhold granting it to others because of what they did to us, how they hurt us, what they said about us. Is that a dual standard? Is that a dual standard? What we receive, we are to give. We are to give. Now, one of the verses that we did read, please turn there as a backup, but I'm going to connect it with one we didn't. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Take a look. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and that's the doing of the holiday. Okay? That's the doing. You bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Notice it's that he has something against you. Look at that one. Yeshua said, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Probably on the examination, we would say, well, no, giving God the gift is priority. God says, no, it's not. No, go make it right. Go be reconciled first, and then bring your gift to me. Because if you bring your gift and you're not reconciled, it's like you didn't bring it. Because it's just anybody can bring a gift. Anybody can kill a lamb. But what's going on in here? See, it's people, heart to heart. That's, Yeshua put this in a phenomenal priority. So that's, you know, we don't like to pray that because, you know, what if that prayer is answered? Lord, show me the people that I, you know, have ought against. You don't want to pray that, do you? Because it's uncomfortable. Or show me the ones who have wrought against me. Oh, I don't like that one especially. But Yeshua wants us to make things right with other people. And then we can bring our gift, and then our prayers can be answered. Now, we read that verse. You all mean you know this? You know? Do you do this? Is the question. The Lord's Prayer. We can say it. We can sing it. How many versions of the song are there? Turn to Matthew 6, one page over. It's still the Sermon on the Mount. Let's make another connection. Matthew 6. Before we do that, we'll go to verse 14 and 15. Oh, okay, this is it. He had just given what we call the Lord's Prayer. And by the way, in that, remember the connection? We pray. Forgive us, we receive forgiveness, our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We pray that, we sing that, we know that, right? Do you mean that? Lord, I want you to forgive me the way I forgive others. Or is this something we just say? Or do you realize maybe that's a hindrance? Because I'm not forgiving others, maybe that's why I'm not being heard. It gets better. That was verse 14 and 15. And you know this. But look ahead to verse 42. Matthew 6, 42. That doesn't work, does it? Wow, look at that. How did I ever do that? How about Matthew 5? Let's try that one. Let's do Matthew 5, 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Notice he didn't say it was written. It was said. That's the oral law. It's not the written law. Jesus said, but I say to you, you're going to love this one, huh? Love your enemies. Now you know this. Do you do this? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do you do that? You know, I can't find the verse that says it's easy. I'm looking. Come on, help me out. I can't find that verse. We're to do what? Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, I don't like that. Do you? Because they should get what they deserve, right? Maybe not. Do you want what you deserve? Forgive me, we're praying, the way I forgive others. Then we need to do. He's given us a message. And the bottom line of that message has to do with forgiveness. We're to proclaim to the nations, the Great Commission, to proclaim to the nations forgiveness. Forgiveness. We're to say what he said. We're to do what he did. That's it right here. We're to say what he said. But then, as Margarita pointed out, you know, you're expected to live the life in public because they see you. They will see you. Not just know what he said, but do what he said. Do what he said. At his crucifixion, at the worst case scenario, he offered forgiveness. Father, forgive them. You just think about that event. The trial, the mocking. Worst possible circumstances. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We brought this up Wednesday night. We're going to do it again today and Friday night. But are there people, see, you're supposed to be praying about this. Are there people you just assume God didn't forgive? Okay, because of, you know, what they're like. You know, of what they've done. Are there people that you don't want to forgive? We freely receive his forgiveness, but when it comes to praying for them, even for their salvation, sometimes there's stuff in your heart called hate, bitterness, all kinds of stuff. I just assume they weren't saved. Because, you know, if someone goes and talks to them, it's just like God to soften their heart, you know. But that's an attitude that some people have because of being hurt by other people. By other people. Now, we mentioned, is it possible that even some of our biblical leaders felt that way? We said, yeah, Jonah. We're going to talk a little bit about Jonah Friday night and that connection. And a unique one, which is what I'm going to end with in a few minutes, on that connection. But Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. They were the enemies of Israel. They did atrocities that we can't talk about this morning against Israel. God said, Jonah, I want you to arise and go to Nineveh and preach and give a message. And Jonah went that way. Why? Because you know what happens when the prophet gives a message? Sometimes people listen to it. And sometimes they repent and they turn. And Jonah did not want them to turn. He wanted them to get it, like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we can talk like about Jonah, but you know what? Maybe it's us sometimes. Do we feel that way about people? Those are the very ones we're to be praying for. Because if you can't forgive, or you can't pray for someone's salvation, that's a hindrance in your spiritual life. And that'll turn to anger and bitterness and resentment and all those ugly words that will begin to typify you. Because, and we say we're messianic, or we're Christian, we're Messiah-like, but we just don't want to do what he says, like bless those that persecute us, pray for those who spitefully, you know, we like to leave that part out. Because that's hard. And Jonah's attitude, which we'll address Friday night in more detail, it's just like God to soften their hearts and to save those people. But they don't deserve it. Do you? Do you? And that's what the message is. That we are to do what he did. Not just know what he did and said, but to do it. And we mentioned that the hard part of that is, for you to do that, you have to be offended. You have to be hurt. To forgive someone, you have to have been the person who was offended. And nobody likes that. But the way this language speaks, it assumes it's going to happen to you. But how do you respond to it? How do you respond to it? Well, Peter, our old friend Peter, seems to be the object of many lessons in Scripture. Many more than you might think, by the way. He was used by the Lord to show us many things, including things about this very issue. This very issue. Peter, Margarita was pointing out this morning, they had been discipled by the Lord for 3.5 years. I mean, great! What a great time in their life to walk with him. Hear what he said. See what he did. And being groomed to be like him and represent him. Be an ambassador of the Messiah. He heard the Lord's teachings on forgiveness. And the list is long. Of the prodigal son. He heard that story. But the son came home. Did he deserve? No. The father welcomed him with loving arms. He didn't even bring up the sin. Peter heard that story. Oh yeah, that's just like God, huh? Yeah, that's like God. He said one day to the Lord, he said, you know, I think I've got it. We're to forgive somebody 7 times. Now you all know that, right? And the Lord said, no, 70 times 7? You all know that, right? Do you know where Peter got the 7? Flip back in Matthew a couple of pages, you'll see that Yeshua was talking about forgiving someone 7 times. Except Peter heard that. What Yeshua was saying was, forgive the same offense 7 times. Now, if you offend me, I hope I can forgive you. But if you do the same thing again, that's two strikes. Strike two. I'll go, okay. Let us lack. If you do it 3 times, you're out of here, okay? That's me. Yeshua said, nope, that's not the heart of God. And he makes it really hard. That's what he was saying. Peter only caught the 7, not the 7. So that's why the issue of the 490 times, which means you lose track. No. How many times do you go before the Lord? When you look at in the law, on the sin offerings and so on, was there a limit? After this many, you can't bring any more. No. You ever thought about that? Why? Because we had been in big trouble. Can you imagine the priest standing there, and I need a volunteer. Somebody raise their hand. Oh, Jerry, okay, good. Thank you, Jerry, for volunteering. Your wife pointed at you. At the temple, I'm going, didn't I see you here yesterday? You go, yeah, yeah, I sinned again. And it was kind of like that, okay? Well, I sinned again and again. There's provision, but it's like the reminder, you know, we're in big trouble. But there wasn't, you know, after 42 lambs, you're done. No, no, think about that. No, it's like, no, you just keep bringing them. Peter saw the situation of the woman caught in adultery. You know, and Yeshua's response and offering the forgiveness and his tenderness with her, a moral issue. There was tenderness. The stuff we just read. And then he heard all that. And then at the last Seder, Yeshua twice said, "One of you will betray me." And Peter, knowing it certainly wouldn't be him, said, "Lord," yeah, Peter, he always got up and talked first. You ever noticed that? "Lord, these others, they might betray you." Can you imagine how they were feeling? Can you imagine John? You know? "But I will never let you down, Lord." Yeah. Careful what you say. Yeshua said, "Peter, tonight," three times. Peter in his heart was saying, "No way." But then in the garden later, he said, you know, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He really understands. He understands. But then in the garden, he fell asleep. You know, it's really not a good thing to fall asleep in a prayer time with the Messiah. Okay? I hate it when he says, "Look, Peter, would you please close in prayer?" Somebody has to wake up, Peter, wake up. Or if you're snoring. While I was on vacation, I taught at a men's retreat. And one of the evenings after the campfire, there was this huge cave. It's a big bubble in a volcano. It's a gigantic cave. And we all went to it. And we take our chairs, you go in there, you go way down in the earth, this huge thing. And we take our chairs, we sit down, and we had a guitar, and we had a worship time. And you would turn off all our flashlights. It is dark. I mean, it is dark. And then we had a prayer time. But somebody fell asleep and started snoring, okay? We're all dying to take our flashlights and go, "Who is it?" Okay, "Who is that?" But that was not me, no. It was not me. But that reminded me of Peter in the garden. You don't go to sleep when the Messiah asked you to pray with him, okay? But he did. But then, the one who was called by the Lord to be a fisher of men, And at that calling in the Sea of Galilee, that great verse where it says, "He forsook all and followed him." Well, that night, the reverse happened. It says, "He forsook him and he ran away." But he followed afar off. He goes to the trials. And as a witness in those trials, that's where he denies the Lord three times in front of a little girl. The wording there, she's under 12 years old, and he swears. He cusses. And then that third time, Luke tells us that at that moment, his eyes and Yeshua's eyes meet. Can you imagine what he was feeling? The Messiah, he's looking at you at that third time of denial and cussing in front of a little girl. "I don't know the man." And you meet his eyes, it's like, I have let you down. When you needed me most, I've let you down. I denied I ever knew you. I was the one that said you can count on me. And that was tonight. I said it tonight. And now look what I did. How's he feeling? How's he feeling? What happened to his calling? And then he was present at the crucifixion. He saw all that happened there. What happened to his calling? What happened to his calling? Maybe he's thinking, how can I be effective now? How can I be effective? How can I be anything? What kind of an example am I? He's first in all the list of the disciples. He was the leader. How can I be an example now? He did repent. It says that he went out and wept bitterly. I mean, he was sorry for what he did. He wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. But is my call still in effect? Is my call still in effect? Well, in John chapter 21, you have that great moment of restoration. And, you know, I'm referring to events, and I will on Friday, Saturday, that you're familiar with, but adding some stuff maybe you don't know. But at that moment, Peter, he wasn't feeling so good. And he went back to the Sea of Galilee and went back to his old job. Let me share something with you right now. If God calls you to something, and you get discouraged, and you go back to your old job, what's going to happen? What happened that night? They went fishing, and what did Peter catch? Nothing. He caught nothing. That old job's not going to work. There was that great moment of restoration in front of everybody where Yeshua, he fixed him breakfast, and nobody's talking, and he says, Peter, I knew it. I'm going to get it now. Peter, and the question was this, do you love me? Do you love me? If I say yes, he'll say, then why'd you do that? Do you love me? And it was that word for love that's with all your heart. Peter answers back, yes, I love you. But that wasn't the word he used. He said, you're my best friend. That wasn't the question. Second time, the Lord said, Peter, do you love me with all your heart? Peter answers, you're my best friend. That wasn't what the question was. The third time, Yeshua said, Peter, am I your best friend? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that that's how I love you. I don't love you the way you want me to. And Yeshua said, you know what? That's okay, Peter. Feed my sheep. He was reinstating him as a shepherd, as a pastor, in front of everybody. He says, your calling is still intact. Your calling is still intact. That's the heart of the Lord. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And just before the ascension, he gathered them together. And he gave them the great commission. Go into all the world, to the nations. Make disciples of all the nations. Teach them what I taught. Be the example to them. Wow. He gave them a message. He gave them a commission to go. To where? The nations. What's that other word for nations? Gentiles. Go to the Gentiles. And so Peter immediately went, right? Well, no, actually in 10 days. He had to be filled with the Holy Spirit at Shavuot. Acts chapter 2. Wow, okay, you should say wait till then. And then he went, right? Didn't he go to all the nations? What happened to the Great Commission? What happened to it? Why didn't he go? Uh-oh, we got a problem. See, Peter's a great example on problems. He has a lot for us to look at. He had the same problem that Jonah had. In fact, what is the connection of Jonah and Peter? Even his name, Simon Bar-Jonah. Ever think of that? Simon Bar-Jonah? Well, Friday night, when you come back, we're going to start by showing an interesting connection of Peter and Jonah and Joppa and God's call. We have the same call that Jonah got given to Peter. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? There were some barriers that were insurmountable in Peter's life, just like in Jonah's life. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Let's all stand.